For those of you who don't know me, that are new here tonight, just visiting us, I am Rob, and I am the husband of said beautiful woman, and I am also the pastor here, this fine church, hole in the ground in Wichita, Kansas. I remember when I was about seven, I would start to wake up in the middle of the night, just a little backdraft, just tons of family issues, brokenness, abusive fathers, stepfathers, the whole gamut. A lot of brokenness, and I remember something snapped in me one day, and I was a little boy, and I would wake up in the middle of the night, and weird things would start to happen to me, like I would hear an airplane go over, and it was very loud. We lived in Southern California. We were kind of close to the Air Force bases there. Planes flew low, and so these planes would go by, and they would shake our house, and all of a sudden, one night, it went from, oh, that woke me up, to terror. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, I just would scream and run into my mom's room, and I would just start to freak out. And then I couldn't stop thinking about it. It became obsession in my head over and over and over and over again. And then when that door opened, other things would start to slide in, like social phobia. And, you know, lived in rough neighborhoods and went to rough schools, which didn't add to helping the problem. It made it worse. I was always freaking out, looking over my shoulder, and always antsy. And then I remember I watched a stupid movie on nuclear war. I'm seven or eight. I don't know if you guys remember that movie in the 80s that came out, and it was like called The End of the World or something like that. It was this supposed fake documentary on the end of the world. Is anybody even that old? Some of you are that old, right? So the shows, and then from that point, it just happened that I started having this fixation with things, and I was just a little boy, and I wouldn't know why, but they would make me sick. And so as I got older into my teen years and things kept going wrong, I was diagnosed with irritable bowel and I couldn't eat anything without running to the bathroom. And I would be so sick all the time and I would be so nervous all the time. I remember when I was like 13 or 14, something happened and all of a sudden I got this thing in my head that I had cancer. And this came out of nowhere. So I'm like 13 or 14 years old. There was something on my body, and it freaked me out. And so I started fixating on these things, and it wouldn't go away. And so my mind seemed to be, I'm a very common sense kind of man, I think. I'm not the world's biggest book smart guy. I'm pretty street smart, I think. I'm kind of a doofus all the way around. But my mind would launch into something that I couldn't control, and it would run away from me. And so this started happening more and more and more and more as I got older. And then I would get these illnesses, and then my head would explode almost with these thoughts that I couldn't control and I couldn't contain. And as I grew up, I became very, very paranoid. And I can keep a pretty cool atmosphere on the outside. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine today, and I was sharing some of this stuff from my childhood with him. And he's like, seriously? I'm like, yeah, what do I look like on the outside? Because I feel like this. Ah! And he was like, no. And I'm like, that's right. And so I got swag. Anyway, but in my head for years, I've been terrorized. As I got older and got married, I thought, lo and behold, that someday I would find someone that was chill and that would help me balance out and help me sort through my head and that we would just kind of help each other and they would be stable and, you know, just this. I would call her my beautiful Scottish princess, I would say. And then, lo and behold, I met this beautiful woman, and she was everything I ever dreamed for and needed. And then, lo and behold, after the fact, or not even after the fact, during the fact, I realized that she was a little angry. Little. And then after a few knife fights in our house, and seriously, and tackling her while giggling, I thought, wow, I love this woman. But we are really in different gamuts of the face of the earth. We're not helpful for each other. And so, but I was in love with her. We got married. We were moving through. And then this thing happened where she explained where she, after a very little time later, I got very tired of dealing with mental illness that I had been dealing with in a different page in my own life. And so I just became frustrated. Didn't know how to get help. Didn't know what to do. Lo and behold, in the middle of all this, we become believers and start loving Jesus. And lo and behold, in Jesus' name, those things didn't just go away. And I was very upset. And I was very broken. And I was very angry that why can't my wife just get better? She's supposed to have faith. She says she loves Jesus. Why can't she just submit and speak kindly? Why can't I get my mind under control in the Spirit of God and get control of my thoughts, control of my stuff? And why can't we finally have peace? And then everything almost ended very shortly after. Over the years, I've come to realize and be diagnosed with anxiety disorder. I am now medicated. Holla to my medicated peeps out there. Amen. Amen. By the way, our church is very open about this kind of stuff because we see people get set free all the time. Amen. And so this is why you'll hear this kind of stuff on any given Sunday, which some of you might not want. but we believe that Jesus sets free people who are in bondage, and it doesn't always look the way you think it's going to look. I'm going to share some things with you this evening from the Word of God. In Mark chapter 5, there's this interesting story, and some people would say, and some books would say, this is a horrible text to use in the confines of a situation like this, because people will draw arrows to this really quickly. But I'm going to share it with you because I believe it's what the Lord has for us tonight, and I'm going to share with you why. In Mark 5, starting in verse 1, and you can turn there or gadget, whatever you are, I'm just going to read it. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from a cemetery to meet him. This man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he was often, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered, among the burial caves in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. So let me make a clarification first, is that I am not saying that everybody who deals with mental illness is possessed by the devil. But I will say that sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. And I believe it's the power of the Lord to push those things out. But I also know that while it may be chemical, while it may be physical, I'm not a doctor, I don't understand all the gamut of these things, but all I know is that I love Jesus with all of my heart. I claim and think to be a faithful man. I serve him with my life. And there is something wrong inside of me that I cannot control. Without purpose. Let me say that. And so I was reading about this dear brother, and here are some strong connections that I think this story makes for us. Number one, alienation and loneliness in his battle. I counsel a lot of people struggling with mental illness, and myself. Even when you're married, even when you have a house full of people, even when you go to counseling, battling with mental illness is a very lonely place. There's a lot of alienation. This poor brother is pushed out in a graveyard, shackled and chained, far away from everybody else, and he's by himself. He's lonely. This is why I think this story pertains. Other things is that he keeps breaking out of these chains. It's like people are trying to put normalcy on him, so he quits causing damage. And every time they try to put some kind of containment on his life, he breaks out of it. There's no boundaries of his life. He's all over the place. He's from one gamut to the other. He's like an animal. I also know that many of us who battle with this mental illness deal with this kind of untamable presence in our head. So I think it's like us. Another thing is, can you imagine the amount of exhaustion he had? He didn't rest. The scriptures say he went all throughout the evening, all howling and running through these burial places and caves. And as he ran through it, he didn't rest. And I can darn sure tell you, for a man that would wake up at 3 a.m. to see his manic wife hovering over him painting a wall, which scares you when this is the same woman that's throwing knives at you, right? Amen? Let's just be real, all right? But I also know that many of us, because of what goes on in our heads, you know, physical work is exhausting. Mental battles are even more exhausting. I mean, come on. How many of you in this room know what it's like to be so tired because of what goes on in your brain? And so we know a little bit about what this brother's going through. Also, he's cutting himself. He is causing physical damage to himself. Something happens on the inside of you sometimes when things are so rotten that somehow in our head, while it's twisted and broken, the only way to deal with what's going on inside is start to cause damage to ourselves on the outside. We start to self-destruct. We have affairs. We get into drug addiction. We get into alcoholism. We get into sexual promiscuity all over the place, and we start to cause damage to ourselves and other people. We can identify with this brother. Amen? And then another part of it is that his family must be broken. He is out there. They were very family blind. So while you can imagine, we can easily think about this brother that has this legion, this demonic presence in him out there, and they're thinking, thank God, at least he's out there. The problem is that there was a mom somewhere. There was a father somewhere. There were siblings somewhere. There were family that are alienated because of this battle going on inside of this man, that he's out there and they're in here and they are separated. Family must be destroyed. Now, I don't know how many of you in this room can testify that the battle going on inside of you and inside of your head has caused damage with your spouses, relationships, mothers, fathers, children. We identify with this guy. Amen? Let me continue to read on in Mark 5. Verse 6 says, when Jesus was still a distance away, this man saw him and ran to meet him and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus had already said to the spirit, come out of the man, you evil spirit. And then Jesus demanded, what is your name? And he replied, my name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man. Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them into some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. Send us. These are demons inside of this man begging the Lord God. They know who he is. Send us into this herd of pigs right over here. Got it? The evil spirits, and then so Jesus gave them permission. Listen to that. In his mouth, in his words, he spoke it, gave them permission, and they left. The evil spirits came out of the man, entered into the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. Verse 14 says this, the herdsmen fled to the nearby town and surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. By the way, do you think this guy was the talk of the town? Everybody knows Freakazoid out there who can't control himself and get a hold of his mind. He is something worthy of in their heads to talk about and to blaspheme. Sound familiar? They saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane. And they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. His power was so overwhelming that they were afraid of Jesus. Yet, here sits this man who up till this point has been a prisoner of his insides, shackled, whether it's on his arms or not, and he has been set free. He is sitting there perfectly sane. Here's a few implications that I want to share, and I have some, but I don't want to leave without you hearing these things, is that there is, just to give you a Sunday school answer, there is true freedom and redemption in Jesus Christ. Listen, y'all, I don't know what kind of monster you think of yourself in your head, but I guarantee you that this man thought he was a monster. He knew he was a monster, and in a second, Jesus touched him with his words and changed his life. Amen. Psalms 147:3 says, He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. 1 Peter 2 says, He personally carried our sins in His body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By His wounds, you are healed. You see, in the cross, when He took our sin and He was obliterated by a cat of nine tails and nailed into a cross and His body perished, He defeated death and resurrected 3 days later. And when He rose again, that was freedom for you and me, men and women who would believe and call on His name, that whatever temporal, demonic, whatever it is, possession, weakness, illness that comes on this earth is temporary and it does not own us anymore. We have freedom in Jesus Christ. Amen? This is what it means. And John 8:36, one of my favorite verses. So if the Son sets you free, you are free in deed. The question is, when you ask yourself if you're free, do you really feel free? What is your answer? Here's more. Here's another thing that we can learn about this story and about who Jesus is. And this thing is that this guy has been alone for all this time. And all of a sudden, when Jesus enters into his life, he's not alone. Not one single one of us in the battle of our mind, even though the punk enemy in your flesh would want you to feel like you're alone, you're alienated, you're a freak, you're somebody nobody wants to talk to, you can't manage yourself, Christ is always with you. Isaiah 41:10, speaking to the prophet Isaiah, the Lord says, Fear not, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You know, we read through some of these verses in the scriptures and we kind of like compartmentalize them. But why on earth can you not take your mental illness and smack the snot out of it with the word of God? Think about it for a minute. If this is you and your battle is in your mind, why can't you claim the promises of God? It's not just over your money or your kids or your relationship. What about in here? This is enemy number one for most of us. What goes on in here? And the scriptures just said, the Lord said, do not be dismayed. I am with you. I am strengthening you. I will help you and I'm going to uphold you in my strong, never ending, never fading, always in love, right hand, and I've got you. We're not alone. Amen? Amen. Another thing that we learn from the scriptures about when Jesus explodes onto the scene is what he does with tiredness. And so like we've already said, I spend most time, you know that moment, I talk about this at church a lot on Sundays, is that when you wake up in the morning and there's those few seconds, there's like 10 seconds, maybe sometimes it's a minute, where you're actually clear in your mind. You're too sleepy to start taking on all the water that's coming into your boat. And you actually sit there for a minute and you just have a few seconds maybe, just with you and the Lord. You're just sitting there and you're not, your mind hasn't started off with its cancerous garbage and then all of a sudden here it comes, right? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You're doing okay, then all of a sudden thoughts come in, right? All of a sudden doubt comes in and lust comes in and anger comes in and worry for those of us who battle a stupid anxiety garbage. All of a sudden it starts to rule me and you know what? It doesn't go away until I am asleep. It stays with me all day long. And tomorrow morning, it's going to be waiting for me. But here's what the scriptures say. Jesus was talking to his apostles. He says in Matthew 11, he says, Jesus said, Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Because I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You've heard that verse before, but when have you laid that kind of truth over this? When have you laid that over your bipolar? When have you laid that over your schizophrenia or whatever it is you have, anxiety disorder? When have you laid that God wants to give you rest? He says, take my yoke, come up underneath him. It's his way. But you come up underneath him in his way, and it is easy, and he will give you rest for your soul. Sometimes, y'all, the only way I make it through the day is through prayer and reading God's word and letting it just completely soak my heart and my mind. Amen? There's help for your tiredness. Here's something that a couple of these guys already alluded to, is what it comes down to. Now that Jesus is who he is and you are who you are through Jesus, you know, Genesis 1:27 says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. You are created in, okay, let's say it again. You are created in everybody on the face of the earth. Everybody is God's creation. Not everybody is God's children. Children and adoption come through submission and lordship through Jesus. But we are created in God's image. You, when you look in the mirror, you are looking into somehow the image of God. And so one thing is really big in dealing with mental illness, and I think more for us who battle this, is that since you have such a war going on in your mind, usually, unless I'm wrong, most of the stuff that goes on inside of your mind isn't encouraging you, right? Hey, we're crazy, but you're all right. You're going to do it, buddy. No, it's cancer, isn't it? It's defeat. It's lousy discouragement and taunting and nothing but a nightmare going on in our heads a lot of times. And here's the thing that most of us need to catch on through dearly, is that you will never be defined by your thoughts and your emotions and your mistakes or what anybody says about you. The scripture says you're created in God's image. It goes on to say in Galatians 3, all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Jesus like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. Let me add to this. Let me add to the Bible. Freakazoid, schizophrenic, you know what I mean? Worry wart, loser. None of that. There is no longer underneath the headship of Christ. Amen? For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. And God's promise to Abraham was, I'm going to make your descendants like the stars. I'm going to bless them beyond anything you can fathom. And in Jesus, your identity, the Lord no longer looks at you through your mistakes in your past. He sees nothing but Christ. What about my bipolar? No, he sees nothing but Christ. What about the mistakes I've made in my worrying? No, he sees nothing but Christ. You are, regardless of what your mind tells you, free. Scriptures say redeemed, new in Christ, that your sins no longer are even attached to you, that through Jesus they have been separated from you as far as the east is from the west, that whatever your brain, even your internal self, tells you you are, that is a lie. Because if it doesn't match up with what God's word is, which is the only truth that we live by, it is not truth. Now tell me that's not a battle. And I just pray this over myself and my family and our church all the time. Like, God, please help us to stop defining ourselves by the stupid things I tell myself. And God, help me to define myself by what you say I am. Imagine, amen? Imagine if every one of you started to pour yourselves into redefining. We have these identity, who I am in Christ sheets over there on the wall. I want you to take them. And they have them online. Every day going through garbage. My spiritual pappy calls it crap, but I'll just clean it up. Or call it the baloney pile is another thing he calls it. You have a baloney pile in your head, every single one of you. Your job is to, if you want freedom, you have got to take on the garbage. Amen? When garbage comes, if you let it suck on you and leech on you and identify you, you're sunk. But in Christ, the scripture said we have the mind of Christ, his Holy Spirit, that we can seriously speak into the things that attack us in the name of Jesus, resist the devil, and the scripture said he will flee from you. Amen? And so, but you've got to rewire your brain. And by the way, your brain's broken. But it is possible in Jesus. Amen? You are not who you say you are. You are who he says he is. And that's why we love the fact of being Holy Spirit-filled believers. Amen? The scriptures say where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So how many of us will take these words and go, yeah, there's freedom in my finances and there's freedom in my blah, 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 blah. But when it comes down to it, when we think that the scriptures say where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, then we don't want to lay that, or it seems like we can't lay that over what goes on in our mind for real. How many of you really, don't show me any hands, but in your heart, how many of you really battle thinking that you're ever going to be free? That you're ever really going to be free of these thoughts? And why on earth does God's word say you will be free? Where the Spirit is, you are free. The battle. A couple other things, and then we're going to get into prayer. and I'm very excited about that. You guys have anything to do on a Friday night? Probably not, huh? Because here's a couple things, and I got to tell you something honestly. I really feel like you folks that are here tonight, and I say this sometimes, and pastors abuse this kind of language, but I really feel that this word is for you guys. I really feel like God is just speaking into some of you tonight. Just whispering to your heart, like, be free. I'm the answer. I want to set you free. This isn't all that I have for you. And another interesting thing that blows my mind about our stories and your guys' stories is that this stinking verse, I don't mean to blaspheme God's word, but this verse just tears me up. And it's something we use all the time. Romans 8:28. And we know that God uses everything for the good of those who are called by His name. Every circumstance. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purposes. That means that if I have to get my mind around this somewhere, God wants to use what I have going on inside of here and here for His glory. It blows my mind. Do you hear me? Here's what we've come to learn is that your weakest points in your life that you battle more than anything are actually the things that God has allowed to be there so He can pull you out of, deliver you, and use you for that. Do you know what come out of our mental illness battles? A bunch of heartache and brokenness. But you know what else? A dependency on Jesus. I can't do this on my own. I can't control my mind. But I can live by the Spirit of God. I can seek freedom. Our lives are put back together after 18 years. 10 of it was chaos and brokenness. But God used the most broken pieces of my mind through the healing of Jesus. And healing doesn't always look the same. Some of us are going to be touched and delivered in Jesus' name. Some of us are going to walk through, and some of it comes through medication. We used to discredit that and pray that we had more faith. Guess what? I'm a faithful man, and we take medication. I believe God has brought that in provision. And I don't believe it's for everybody. But I don't believe that it's all lack of my faith. I just can't believe that. And we know this through what Paul talks about. When Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians, he said, I want to boast. And if anybody could boast, I could boast because I'm the man. It's basically what he says. Let me paraphrase that just for time's sake. Paul says, I could boast. And he said, just because of that, though, he says, listen, even though I have received wonderful revelations from God to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and to keep me from being proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time He said, my grace is all you need. My grace is sufficient. My power works best in your weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness. Come on. Is it possible to take what Paul says about taking pleasure in his weakness, and we can actually overlay that in my life? Maybe my anxiety disorder has been used by God in some kind of benefit. Maybe my worry can do two things to me, make me run away, or in Jesus' name, in the power that Paul's talking about, maybe it can make me grow closer to Christ. Maybe it's one of the biggest blessings of my life. And nobody wants to tell me that. He does. He goes on to say, I boast all the more so the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness, in the insults, in the hardship, in the persecution, in the trouble that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Romans 5:3-4 says, we can rejoice too that when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. You want to know? Maybe the whole weird thing about tonight is that we don't all walk out of here sane, but maybe we all walk out of here with a dependency and a hope for Jesus unlike anybody else has. You know what drives me to hope in Jesus' name? That I am so sick of myself and I'm down a battle every day. But you know what? He is my hope because a doctor won't set me free. They can help. Medication won't set me free. They can help, right? God can use those things and lay claim to that. But in the end, what the only hope I have is Christ. And I realize that now more than ever because I have given up. Amen? Here's the end of the verse. In verse 18, after this guy's healed, Jesus was getting into the boat. The man who had been demon-possessed begged him to go with him. Okay? He said, but Jesus said, no, go home to your family. Tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and begin to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. Do you see that, number one? Do you miss that? He went home. He said, go home to your family and tell them what I have done. And you know what he did? He got to go home. God was restoring his family that had been destroyed by this demon. Amen? And then the second part of it is, and this is what we need to learn, is that Jesus touched the man's life, changed him, and then Jesus said, guess what? I want you to testify what I have done. You know what I love to hear? I love to hear stories of jacked up, freakazoid, mentally ill people set free in Christ, telling other people how people can be set free in Christ. Amen? What if this badge that you wear that's been destroying you and your family for so long, what if it not only is one of the biggest blessings in your life because it causes you to run to Christ, but what if it's also a part of your purpose? What if a part of your purpose now is helping other people who are stuck in the same thing? Do you know how many services have you ever heard of in your life for a night of mental healing from mental illness? It's rare. I say no more. No more. We want to be that place. We want to be those people in the city of Wichita who say, you know how many people, come on. I deal with homeless folks all the time. You know what's in there? Mental illness, addiction. You know what's fueling it most of the time? Mental illness. Over and over and over again. Somebody has to go in after them. Somebody has to testify that we are set free in Christ. I am not what my mind is. Maybe we can stop some men from walking into the movie theaters in the middle of the night and taking people out with guns. Maybe they just need somebody to touch their lives. Amen? Revelation 12:11, one of our favorite verses, says, they have conquered him, talking about the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives, even unto death. Your testimony has power. No more hiding this thing where suburban soccer moms are at home taking their pills and hiding in the closet about what they don't want to go tell their friends because they can't control what's going on in their mind, or people are hearing voices in their head, or you worry about everything. It's no more hiding that. Maybe it's time to reveal that and let Jesus touch it. Amen? I just want to say a word to those of you who are, and by the way, this is temporary. Let me tell you that. This is temporary. Scripture say in Revelation 21:4, another one of my favorite verses, Jesus is going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. His death and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. The former things have passed away. You know what's great about being a believer beyond how God empowers me? Is that someday I'm going to walk up to the real resurrected Christ in kingdom, and when I see him, these things in here will be dead. They will never, amen? You want to talk about reason looking forward to heaven? Now people in the twistedness of their mind could say, well, I just want to go right now. Stop. You're living, you have purpose. Do not continue to believe in the garbage lies that people would be better off without you. We love you. We need you. Jesus put you here for a reason, and it's not to go away fast. He will walk with you, but someday when he says, we will be touched. And you know, the greatest thing about heaven is to me is that I will not be there anymore. As in this. Scripture said there's a new me, a resurrected Rob that is in the image of Jesus. I have a new name. There's a new heaven, a new Jerusalem, a new earth. And I am no longer captivated by this. Amen? I want to say something to you who caretake of people, because I've had to play two roles. Living as someone with mental illness myself and then trying to support somebody's mental illness in the middle of my mental illness. Works out great, right? It's like two drunks at the AA meeting each other and trying to get a relationship that's going to last forever, right? We really support each other. It's good. I'll just tell you the secret. It doesn't work for very long. Is that I want to say, you know, the scripture talks about Jesus in John 15, that there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. I'm going to tell you what kind of hero I think you are. I have friends just like me who deal with wives or husbands that have battled mental illness for years, and they feel so defeated, so broken. But I want to tell you something, that your role in this, number one, you need to overlay all the things we talked about tonight over you. You need to get your rest from the Lord. You cannot take this. And the worst thing about this is that you can't take it personally. It's really not about you. But you're the target, aren't you? But man, Jesus wants to heal you. And you have to know that there is no greater love than someone would lay down his life for someone else. And for those of you that are caretakers and you're tired, I just want to give you a breath of encouragement. You are being the hands and feet of Christ. And you might be the only, quote unquote, angel or presence of God in that person's life sometimes where they need you desperately. I just want to encourage you to know that the Lord is with you. And he knows you're tired, but all those promises we just talked about overlay your life, and you are being the very hands and feet of Christ. Go to counseling for yourself. Get help.